Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Of all the kinds of Christian hymns that there are out there, if you open a typical hymnal, you'll see the categories of hymns, and that's how they're usually organized. Theological categories, or what the topic of that hymn is, and you can find all different kinds of topics in Christian hymnody. But of all those topics, all those categories, this category, this topic is again and again and again one of my favorites, and I don't know why. Evening hymns. Christians sing hymns in the morning, they sing in the middle of the day, and they sing at the close of day. But these evening hymns that we're going to be studying here in a five-part series on Issues Etc., they are among my favorite hymns. What makes a Christian hymn an evening hymn, and why are these so near, so dear to the hearts of Christians throughout history? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. It's the 23rd of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Peter Bender joins us in the first hour. We're going to begin a five-part daily series on evening hymns today. We'll be studying the hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. In hour two of Issues Etc., part one of a five-part series on the Nicene Creed with Pastor Will Whedon. Today we'll be talking about the origin of this creed and beginning its first article, so they say, God the Father. Pastor Peter Bender is a regular guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back.
Todd, good to be back with you again.
I said before, I don't know why these hymns are so near and dear to me as they are to many Christians, but inevitably it's an evening hymn that somehow has a special place in my memory, in my devotion. What makes a Christian hymn an evening hymn?
Well, I think the reason they're so dear to us, and if you'd stop to reflect upon it more for yourself, we're being tucked into bed with the Lord's forgiveness and commending ourselves to His grace, and which makes the evening hymns very reflective of life for the Christian in this world, on this side of the grave, in which we still contend with darkness. And so in the evening hymns, there's always a strong contrast between light and darkness. Christ is the light of the world. The darkness often bespeaks the sluggishness of a faith that is encumbered with temptation, the weaknesses of the flesh, the slumber of doubts and unbelief. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And the evening hymns, in addition to this contrast between darkness and light, almost always have a confession of sins, which is very reflective of the ongoing character of the baptismal life, where we confess our sins, pray for Christ's forgiveness, and then in the evening hymn, commend ourselves to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ for protection against the enemies of faith, the prince of darkness, who is the devil, and rest in the promise of Christ's forgiveness and protection. And so if you look at Luther's evening prayer, It's interesting to see how the themes in that evening prayer are accented in many of the evening hymns, and certainly in one of this most famous of all Praise to Thee, My God, This Night.
Can you tell us anything about the author of the text of this hymn?
Well, he's an Englishman by the name of Thomas Ken, and this particular evening hymn is a companion to another hymn that he wrote, For the Morning, Awake My Soul and With the Sun. This evening hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night, first appeared 1995 in Thomas Ken's Manual of Hymns. It originally had 12 stanzas. Typically, only six are sung, and in our most recent Lutheran hymnals, there are only six. The ones that are left out are the ones that continue to develop this theme of darkness and sluggishness and slumber that is not good and constructive for the Christian faith. So a lot of those stanzas have been omitted. And then the Talus Canon, which is the tune which is most commonly associated with this text, of course, is very, very famous indeed.
What would be the primary biblical texts behind the text of this evening hymn?
Well, I think you could look at all of those texts where Jesus says he is the light of the world. Many of the epistle texts about wake up, O sleeper, as I mentioned, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you have the Apostle Paul saying in verse 4, you brethren are not in darkness, so that this day, the day of our Lord's second coming, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. And so I think that 1 Thessalonians passage captures a lot of the themes, particularly in this evening hymn, that while we go to sleep at night, we do so as children and sons of the light.
The first stanza of the hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. All praise to Thee, my God, this night, for all the blessings of the light. Keep me, O keep me, King of Kings, beneath Thine own almighty wing. Pastor Bender, one of the things that I find fascinating about these evening hymns and the morning hymns as well that you mentioned before is that they're always a little bigger in their application than first lets on. They are very here and now, but they are also profoundly theological. They're profoundly timeless. And I wonder if that's what's going on here in the first stanza, where we talk about the blessings of the light, not just daylight, but as you mentioned before, the light of Christ.
Right, and as I said at the outset of our interview, that they speak of what life is like for us as Christians in this world. And every day for us is to be interpreted in light of our baptism and that we are joined to the death and resurrection of Christ. Our Lord died on Good Friday, and then the darkness, you know, there's darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour, and then the darkness fell, and he rested in the tomb, but he rose on Easter morning before the break of day, and the dawning of the day's light bespeaks the resurrection. So when we go to sleep at night, our lives, we should think of them as being patterned after Christ's death and resurrection, for indeed, we are joined to the death and resurrection of Christ in our baptism, and so we fall asleep in peace and in the sure and certain hope that whether we live or die, we shall rise with Christ in the eternal light of His glory on the last day. And so that is all over these evening hymns, and certainly this particular hymn.
So they're not just evening hymns, they're end-of-life hymns, too.
Yeah, you could almost consider them death and dying hymns, and in many ways, hope of the resurrection hymns.
I wonder then if you would just briefly explain for our listeners before we go into this break, the Christian view of death, and in particular, the Christian teaching of a good death. What is it exactly?
Yeah, a blessed death is to die in the faith, with the faith that trusts in the Lord Jesus, who has suffered and died for us, who is our victor over all sin and over death itself, because he took away the cause of death, which is sin, and his forgiveness. This is why the evening hymns pray for forgiveness. The certainty of his forgiveness and is that which gives us victory over death. I mean, sin caused death. The forgiveness of sins brings life out of death. And so what's interesting to note that when, in the epistles of Paul, for example, there is so often the reference to death of Christians as not being referred to as death, but as sleep. Because I think in our modern age, we think so. People think so often of death as annihilation, that there is no soul, spirit. You die. That's it. There you cease to exist. But no, it's separation. You know, when Adam fell into sin, it was separation from God that ultimately resulted in so many other separations, including separation of the soul from the body.
Let's take a break right here, because I want to pick up that very thought on the other side, and we will be hearing the second stanza of All Praise to Thee, My God, this night. Keywords for both evening and death. Forgive me, Lord, for thy dear Son, the ill that I this day have done, that with the world, myself, and thee, I ere I sleep at peace may be. We're studying the hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, this night. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. When we come back, the second stanza and more thoughts on evening and the blessed death. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Forgive me, Lord, for thy dear Son, the ill that I did so befell.
choir of Paisley Abbey with stanza two of the evening hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. We're studying on this Monday afternoon. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. Before we go on to talk about the particulars of stanza two, you were talking about the Christian idea, the biblical idea of a blessed death, not annihilation, but as Scripture often says, sleep.
That's right. In the very same epistle that I quoted several verses from chapter 5 on that are kind of a basis for this hymn. In the previous chapter 4, you have one of those references where Paul says he does not want the church to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, those Christians who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Those who do not believe in Christ have no hope. We sorrow, but we have hope. We have hope for the resurrection and the restoration of our souls and bodies and our life with God in Christ for all eternity. So that's picked up also in then 1 Corinthians 15 is another example. Behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And it refers to the body being asleep, as it were, in death. And awaiting the resurrection when the soul and the body are reunited, and how it also reflects this idea that life, that God brings life out of death. In order to make alive, he puts to death. And so in Genesis, even the creation of Adam and Eve, Adam sleeps, and then God forms Eve out of his side. And then when our Lord, the second Adam, comes, he falls asleep in death, and out of the blood and water from his side, the second Eve, his bride, is created. And we who are joined to Christ, fall asleep in death to rise with him on the last day to life immortal and incorruptible. And for us, as Christians, whose hope is in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life, every time we fall asleep at night, we are called by the gospel to do so in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body to everlasting life, where we are our bodies are awakened from the sleep of death to the eternal light and life and light that is ours in Christ.
In that second stanza, one of the themes that you said is prominent in all these evening hymns, a confession of sins, a simple confession of sins that ends in that stanza talking in terms of reconciliation, that with the world, myself, and thee, I ere I sleep at peace may be. Expound on that, if you would.
Yeah, this is so lovely. It reflects what the close of day prayer service accents, the compline service, where there's a chief part of that service is a confession of sins before going to sleep. And this idea of reconciliation that you brought up is so very important, because Christ's forgiveness, which he procured for us upon the cross, is a forgiveness that not only reconciles the individual Christian to Christ, to God the Father, but it also is a reconciliation which reconciles us as estranged brothers or sisters from one another. It also reconciles the whole of God's creation, which has been damaged by the assault of sin and the devil's intrusion. It reconciles all of the creation to God. And Paul speaks about this in Romans 8, how the creation groans in eager expectation of the revelation of the sons of God. It's talking about the anticipation of the resurrection. You see how the peace of the forgiveness of sins is the fountain and source of this reconciliation in every way. It's the fountain and source of new life. It is the light of new life that enlightens us. And it's a wonderful, wonderful theme that's accented in these evening hymns.
Talk about the objective nature of that piece, because if you're like me, Pastor Bender, often going to sleep at night, it's not the most peaceful experience. Peace often eludes many of us, especially when we lay our heads down on the pillow. Well, often that's the time when the worries, the anxieties, even the animosities of the day come strongest upon us.
Yeah. One of your frequent guests and our teachers, Dr. John Kleinig, would speak about the importance of going to bed with a nightcap. And he doesn't mean a drink. As what that term nightcap is usually used to refer to, but rather a promise of the gospel, a promise of God's word. And the promises of God's word, the promises of the forgiveness and life and salvation that we have in Christ are sure and certain. They are anchored to Jesus' death and resurrection, and they become the anchor for the soul. And he encourages us to speak these out loud and to pray them and then to commend ourselves to God on the basis of those promises against any assault of the devil or his demons during the night or any of the assaults against our conscience because of our own weaknesses and sins. We commend ourselves entirely to the righteousness of Christ in which all sin is atoned for, and the victory over Satan has been won. And that's what we're doing in these evening prayers, so that we can actually sleep and rest for the renewal and rejuvenation of our bodies and minds.
Stanza 3 of All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die that so I may rise glorious at the awful day.
Teach me to live that I may tread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die that so
Pastor Bender, how does God teach us both to live so that we do not dread death and to die in the hope of the resurrection?
Yeah, what we are praying for is that we might learn to believe the gospel. And it's through his proclamation and ministry of Christ's forgiveness to us that we, in the midst of the struggles and with the weaknesses of our own flesh, our fallen nature, that we learn to believe this. When I hear this stanza, I can't help but think of Luther's Catechism. Of course, that pretty much all the time I think of Luther's Catechism when I hear the scriptures and good hymns. But it's got in the Christian Questions and Answers this line regarding the Lord's Supper: "Why do you wish to go to this sacrament? That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sin, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor, that I may learn to believe that no creature could make satisfaction for sin, only Christ, and believing that, find joy and comfort in Christ alone, and through faith in him be saved." So the learning to believe this comes from that objective word that we spoke of, that nightcap of hearing, receiving, reciting, meditating upon, praying the gospel promises of the Lord. And this, he teaches us. It's the teaching of the Spirit. It's the ministry of the Spirit through the objective word of the gospel. That's how this teaching takes place.
With about a minute, many Christians get it wrong on either side. They think that Christianity is all about just learning to live in this life, or that the gospel is only for the end of life and not about this life. Correct that, if you would, with about a minute before our break.
Well, we are pilgrims here, Todd, and our faith in the grace of God in Jesus and salvation in him teaches us to see that on our sojourn through this world, we are to be living icons of the gospel of Christ in loving service to our neighbor who may not at all deserve it, but that in us they might see the grace of God in Christ, and we live that out in our lives to bear witness to Him. And it's a pilgrimage that we want to draw others into that is, in this life, a time in which we display that grace, and in the life to come in which we enjoy it and live in it, not only for ourselves, but also for others who He has called by the gospel out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're beginning a five-part daily series on evening hymns today. All praise to Thee, my God, this night. When we come back, the fourth stanza. O may my soul in Thee repose, and may sweet sleep mine eyelids close, sleep that shall me more vigorous make to serve my God when I awake. We'll study that stanza, and in the course of our conversation, hear the entire hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, this night, with Pastor Peter Bender, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, presents a new book of essays in honor of Daniel Preuss. It's titled Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. This new hardcover book will be out in November and features essays from Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Scott Murray, David Scare, and others. You can save $10 by advance ordering in August or $5 by pre-ordering in September. Check out Proper Christum, Christ at the Center at shop.logia.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Oh,
Stanza 4 of the evening hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. Part one of a five-part daily series on this Monday afternoon on evening hymns. In hour two of Issues, Etc., we'll start another series, five-part series, on the Nicene Creed. Today we'll talk about the origin of that creed and its first article on God the Father. Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. That's hour two on this Monday afternoon. Pastor Bender, we often overlook this thing, the blessing of sleep. For many of us, sleep is something we catch. It's something we try to catch up on. It really is a blessing in this life for rest and for strengthening. Talk about that.
Well, I like to explore and meditate upon how the way God has created us. From the first week of creation, the 7 days and 6 days he worked, then he rested and so forth, is all a prelude for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection. It teaches us to understand our lives in that light. So, for example, in the week of creation, the 6 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on Friday, he completes his work, and then he rests. The week of our salvation, our Lord worked, and on Friday, he completed his work and said, it is finished, and then he rested. And then he rose from the dead the third day, or the eighth day, just as we shall rise from the dead. And then our lives pattern that as well. In the creation week, there's evening and morning. We Westerners tend to think of the day beginning in the morning and ending at the night, but in biblical time, it's the other way around, evening and morning. And that is so because it reflects, again, and anticipates prophetically within the creation order of the death and resurrection of Christ. And some might object to that, but in the mind of God, our Lord's redemptive work was planned before the foundation of the world. And so, for us, then, the sleep is restorative for renewed life that we might be of service to God and our neighbor. Even as our Lord rose then from the dead after his night of sleep, as it were, and serves us with his forgiving word, with his body and blood, with the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And so Christians, seeing their lives, their baptismal life, joined to Christ, is reflective of those kinds of patterns.
Here is the fifth stanza of All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. When in the night I sleepless lie, my soul with heavenly thoughts supply, let no ill dreams disturb my rest, no powers of darkness me molest.
When in the night I sleepless lie, my soul with heavenly thoughts supply, let no ill dreams disturb my rest, no powers of darkness me molest.
Pastor Bender, speak a pastoral word, if you would, because this is, and you know as well as I do, such a common malady, even among Christians. Just the simple fact of sleeplessness, the inability to sleep.
You know, oftentimes they're rooted in deep conflicts of the soul and a troubled conscience. And I like to prescribe hymns. Both to be read and sung, or played on, an MP3 player or something when a person is going to bed or having difficulty with sleep, so that the Word of God set to music and the promises of the gospel set to music can do what they did for King Saul in the Old Testament, which is to drive away the forces of darkness, and so that one's heart and mind and soul and conscience is set at rest by what Christ has done, and the demonic forces do not have an an entree there. It's often the case when people are going through medical illnesses, taking various medications, that they become open to the forces of darkness in a way that they are otherwise not. And so it becomes very important to have things like an evening hymn, an evening prayer, and the verses of Scripture to meditate upon, to keep the soul and the faith anchored firmly in Christ against those attacks.
And you're quite serious about this. I mean, it's not...
Oh, yes.
You're talking about this, an insight Luther often put to use as well, that the Word of God, whether it is read or heard or spoken, embedded in these Christian hymns, does in fact drive the devil away.
Yes. It wouldn't be right for me to recount specific anecdotal stories that have been related to me by troubled Christians, but few things have been more important to them during times of the distress of the soul, the night terrors, which are, you know, more than just kind of a benign fear of the darkness, but a lot of that has to do with the forces of darkness. But they have spoken about how nothing gives them relief like God's word set to music in the great hymns of the church.
The final stanza, which is a doxological stanza, we'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute with Pastor Peter Bender, of "All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Pastor Bender, this stanza seems to have its roots deep, deep, deep within the devotion of God's people, all the way back to the Psalms, those very Psalms that you mentioned before calmed the heart of King Saul when David would sing them for him. Talk about that.
Yeah. Luther said that all of the Psalms are nothing but a meditation on the first commandment. The triune God is the God who speaks in the first commandment, saying, "You shall have no other gods," or "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He alone is the source of life. He is the God who created us. Apart from Him, we do not exist. He created all things out of nothing. He is the God of our salvation, redeemed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil when we went astray. And He is the God who sanctifies us. The Spirit calls us by the gospel to a living faith in Christ and to receive His blessings. And it is the Spirit who bestows these things upon us. So all things come from God. In the first commandment, He says, "Trust me." And we who do not have the strength to trust in Him, this faith and trust is created in us by the word of the gospel. And so the psalmist says, you know, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And the common doxology, which is what that stanza is, reflects that. All things come from Him, and apart from Him, we have nothing. And He is also, this reflects that He is the God of love, this triune God. This is why He is the creator of all things and our redeemer and our sanctifier. And this hymn, we haven't commented about the meter. It's a long meter hymn, of which there are many texts. And so this common doxology text, which is often and most commonly set to the hymn Old Hundredth, which is also a long meter hymn, fits with this evening prayer hymn. And it's kind of cool that it is a long meter hymn and that doxology can be found in a lot of hymns, because whether it's a morning hymn, an evening hymn, or this common doxology, Old Hundredth tune, all of our lives, morning, noon, and night, and every facet of it, praise to the Holy Trinity is central.
When we come back, one more thought from Pastor Bender on this doxology. We often think of it in kind of generic or Trinitarian terms, but it is, in fact, and especially in these evening hymns as we lay our heads down, a return to our baptism in the triune name of God. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. You can find out more about the Christ-centered, cross-focused work of the Concordia Catechetical Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we will get his final thoughts on the hymn. We will hear the entire hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night, with Pastor Peter Bender, beginning a five-part daily series on evening hymns. And in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. We'll start a series with him, a five-part series on the Nicene Creed, talking about the origin of that creed. There's a lot of history there to review, and it's very informative on why Christians continue to confess this creed, the Nicene Creed, along with the others, and we'll begin the first article of the creed, God the Father. Stay tuned.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around His means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues, etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
Less laughing, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
If you've ever considered the vocation of deaconess, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider October 10th through the 12th. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in this, the first of a five-part daily series on evening hymns, studying the hymn All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night with Pastor Peter Bender. You've heard the stanzas of these hymns, and these evening hymns are, as I said at the very beginning, near and dear. One of the main features, in fact, some might say the main feature of life, studying for the pastoral ministry or for the service as a deaconess in the church at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the worship life of that seminary community. If you've ever been on campus there, you see that the entire campus is literally built around Cramer Chapel. And in Cramer Chapel, the life of that seminary community is based around the preaching of God's Word and the administration of the sacraments. And a major feature of that is the daily prayer offices. You go in there, and as a student, along with the faculty, think about how amazing this is. You have the opportunity to sing hymns like this, to pray the daily prayer offices. It becomes a feature of your life and your future ministry as a pastor or service as a deaconess in the church. To that end, just to get a taste of it, they have a campus visit called Prayerfully Consider. It's coming up in a little less than 3 weeks, October the 10th through the 12th, right there on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can go see for yourself, hear for yourself, worship with that seminary community, and see what that is like, along with opportunity to meet the faculty, the students, and experience some of the classroom there as well. Find out more about Prayerfully Consider at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Ask about Prayerfully Consider, October the 10th through the 12th. Pastor Bender, we were talking before about this doxological final stanza, which sometimes people just toss away because it is so common. But is it also a real tangible return to baptism in an evening hymn like this?
Yes, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when on Pentecost the Apostle Peter called the congregation there to repentance, he directed them to baptism for the promise of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when at the end of Matthew's gospel we have the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we begin to learn what is all over the New Testament, and that is that our life is in God, the Holy Trinity. We are baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ, and he has placed his divine name on us. He's not only called us by our name, but he has joined our name to his name, the one who is the creator of all things, our redeemer and our sanctifier, that our life might be lived in the light of those truths and by faith in the Father who gave his Son, and by the strength of the Holy Spirit whom the Father sends because of what Jesus has done. So,
with about a minute, is that what you were talking about at the very beginning of our conversation when you say these hymns, through these hymns the Christian commends himself to God?
Yes, commends himself to the God who has committed himself to us. So this is a kind of reciprocal thing going on there. We're baptized into Christ, and then we, on the basis of the promises of our baptism, where we are made the children of God, and we learn to believe that and to cry out to him as dear children cry out to their dear Father, then we commend ourselves to him.
Let's hear the entire hymn, this evening hymn, kicking off our five-part daily series on evening hymns. All praise to thee, my God, this night. Pastor Bender, your final thoughts on this evening hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night.
Well, this particular hymn is an English hymn. That means that it was originally written in English. I mean, some of our hymns that we as Lutherans use are translations of Latin hymns or German hymns. And there's always a struggle to translate faithfully the text, but still make it poetic. We don't have to do that with this one. It's already written in English for us. And I'm generally very, very, very conservative when it comes to tinkering around with hymn texts. They really need to be committed to memory. But I did notice that in stanza 4, the Lutheran service book alters a preposition from the original. And the original was, O may my soul on thee repose. But Lutheran service book changed the preposition from on to in. O may my soul in thee repose. And I think they did that for theological reasons, not that the soul cannot repose or recline on the Lord, but they did it because St. Paul emphasizes this baptismal theme that we talked about before the last break, that we are baptized into Christ, and our soul is hidden with Christ in God. And that's complete safety. I don't think there's anything wrong with singing On Thee Repose, but that little alteration brought to the mind some great and comforting theological truths that we have as baptized Christians.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Pastor Bender, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time. A great beginning to this series on evening hymns.
Thank you, Todd.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is a little booklet that contains a lot of very helpful insight and information. It's called 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. The greatest insight it holds is that what claims to be science often isn't, and that true science, a true observation and reading of this world that God has created, is not in conflict with all of the teachings of Holy Scripture. Find out more about 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, September the 23rd, Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. We're going to begin a 5-part series on the Nicene Creed. Today we'll be talking about the origin of the creed and the beginning article of that creed, the first part or section of that creed on God the Father. And we'll be talking a little bit about creation in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. This is something that the world cannot give. The world and all its comforts and all its tranquilizers cannot give you the peace that only is given in Christ Jesus, in the forgiveness of sins. Every day, every night, every evening as you lay down your head, we acknowledge what we have done this day, and we see that it has fallen far short of what God has commanded and required. And then we rest in Christ, in Him, as we've been baptized into Him, as we've been baptized into His death for us, and His resurrection and His perfect life, clothed in His righteousness, we lay down, we sleep, resting in Christ and His forgiveness. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. right after this break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Does your belief in God and His Word mean that you need to reject all of science? Is there a faithful way to integrate science and faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can purchase this $5 book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.